That was from our centennial, the 100-year celebration of the Assemblies of God. And what a powerful word, huh? For those of you that may not know, just the Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope was at Hurricane Katrina. Convoy of Hope was up in New York when everything hit up there in New Jersey and the storm that happened there. They help minister to people around the world and in the United States as well. Disaster Relief is their middle name, and they've just done amazing things for God. And so today is BGMC Sunday, also known as Mission Sunday. That's Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. And so our kids will have opportunity to run around the room, as we normally do, and have them get changed and bring it and put it in the bucket here. And we're going to do that, but we're also going to do kind of a both and. The kids will do that when I say go, okay? So wait for that, guys. Also, just to address children's ministry, just so you guys know, please keep my wife in prayer. She's sick with an infection, and so she's not here today. So we won't be having children's church. Normally, we do every week, but we won't be having it today just because of that. But so this is going to be an opportunity to give to Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. Liken unto that. He talked about speed the light. Convoy of Hope. Who's seen a Convoy of Hope truck ever? A picture of it. Raise your hand high so I can see those. So there's only a few that have actually seen them. Look up Convoy of Hope. That's your little assignment today, okay? Look up Convoy of Hope and see what they've done around the world, because they are the arm of the Assemblies of God. And I'm not saying this to brag on the Assemblies. I'm saying this to brag on Jesus. Right? That they are the arm of the Assemblies of God that is going out, and they partner with other churches as well across denominations, and they go and they minister to the need. You know, Speed the Light, another name that we use, Speed the Light, BGMC, our missionaries. Speed the Light is on practically every truck. It says STL on it. You know why that is? It's because teenagers said, I'm going to use my part-time job and I'm going to give that money to missions to Speed the Light. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go mow yards. I'm going to go without the designer $20 shirt, and I'm going to go with the $5 shirt at Walmart so I can then give 15 bucks to Speed the Light. And because of that, you see Convoy of Hope trucks all over our nation, helping those that are in need. That was Hal Donaldson. He's the leader of Convoy of Hope. His dad was an Assemblies of God pastor. And if you even go, I'm like a broadcaster today, but if you go to ag.org and you go to the centennial, you can actually click on Hal Donaldson and you can listen to everything he shared. But what an awesome testimony of the fact that we are Jesus' hands and feet. Amen? We are his hands and feet. We are to go out there and reach out to the world, and we're to do that in an awesome way. The reason why I call this, and our ushers can come forward at this time, the reason why I call this also Mission Sunday is because we don't just support BGMC, which gives our missionaries materials. We're actually physically supporting missionaries. We're supporting Teen Challenge and funding Teen Challenge and helping them every month. We're supporting Judy Ballweber. As you see, she got recently married. Woo! So she just got married to an awesome guy, and he is actually Ukrainian as well, and she's ministering in the Ukraine, right? So pretty awesome connection there. Coincidence? I think not, all right? And so she got married, but we are helping her there and minister, and we're helping those to reach Japan, and we're helping those to reach India. We've just sent the chapels, and they're in training, and they're learning how to speak the language so that they can go to unreached areas, and they can do for the gospel but what we can't do right here, but that we could be the ones that send them out, and we could be the ones that do awesome and incredible things. So as the girls are taking up the offering, we also have the BGMC bucket up here for the kiddos too. So we're going to do a both and. So let's pray over the offering this morning. God, I thank you for missions. I thank you for our heart for missions. I thank you, Lord God, that we are reaching out to the world, that we are reaching out to those that are in need. God, that we are reaching out with the powerful name of Jesus, the name that's above everything. every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Lord of all as we worship today, Lord God. And we always want to be a sending agent, sending out to the world, Lord God, that they be transformed, that lives would be changed, God. Help us to be a function of that. Help us to be a piece of that, Lord God, that when we get to heaven and we meet somebody that we don't even know, that they would say, thank you. Thank you. It's because of you that I heard the gospel. It's because of you that compassion was reached out to me in such an amazing way that I responded to Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Lord God, we just give this offering to you. We ask that you would multiply it and that you would go before us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our BGM seers, if you guys got change, come on up and bring your change and throw it in the bucket. We'll take dollars too, guys, okay? It doesn't clink as much, okay? And you guys can go around and collect the change as well. Awesome. 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 And again, like I said with the kiddos, that they'll actually stay in here with us for church this morning. Again, normally we do have children's church. I will try to make it as exciting as possible, okay? and vibrant as possible for them this morning here. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, I don't have the hat today. It's true. No Mario hat. I had to give that back. Maybe I'll have to buy a Mario hat someday. And Brian, if you could grab the BGMC, that would be great. If you want to turn in your Bibles with me, we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah. Can you guys say Nehemiah? Nehemiah. Nehemiah, believe it or not, we are coming to a close with Nehemiah. Everybody say aw. We've got, basically, it's going to be the rest of the summer. So right as we move into fall is when we will be changing books, if you will. But we've been in the book of Nehemiah. There are 13 chapters in the book of Nehemiah, in case you have like a Bible quiz, okay? 13 chapters in the book of Nehemiah. And we'll be covering Nehemiah chapter 11 this morning. And I hope that you enjoyed this deep look into the book of Nehemiah. You know, many a times, I don't know about you, but when I was a young Christian, you're like, Pastor John, you're still a young Christian. I know. But when I was a young Christian, when I was a teenager, I would open up my Bible and just be like, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. God, speak to me. Now, he can do that, right? I've had that, right? A number of times where I'll open up the Bible and God will do just that. He won't like spit as he says it, but he'll be like, speak to me. And there you go, John, right? And he'll say something that's awesome and that's encouraging and challenging in my walk with God. And that is good stuff. That is good stuff. But God also wants us to read his word in context. Can everybody say context? All right, I'm having back and forth today, okay? Context. And so context means, again, this kind of special word that we don't just pull a verse out of the Bible and rip it out of what it really means to say something it never means, okay? A silly example is when people snake handlers, okay? They rip that out of the Bible, out of context, and said, hey, the Bible says that we can hold snakes and not get poisoned, so let's go do it, all right? That is pulling the Bible out of context, okay? It's not reading it in the chapter, in the book, with the intention of understanding the whole of biblical understanding. And I know that's a piece by piece that God shows to us, right? It doesn't come like that, right? It takes steps and processes. But so, again, that's what I hope, is that I have spurred on, challenged you, that we here at Mitchell Assembly have challenged you to read the Bible in context and allow the fire of God to ignite passions and hopes that you never thought you had in there. And that would change your life. Because we believe that God's word is a fire and that he changes us on the inside. And so if you're joining us for the first time, we're looking at the life of Nehemiah and his leadership that he has developed and strengthened as Israel has experienced dynamic additions to their life, right? What's the biggest addition that they had to their life? a new wall, right? A new wall, a new identity, because we talked about how Jerusalem coming back and becoming strong once again was so part of their identity of who they were in Christ, of who they were in God, and who they were and who he was saying, you are my child, and I'm calling you back as the people of God. Right? A renewal of the word of God, right? They talked about the law. They talked about what it means to follow God with passionate hearts and to love God with everything that's inside of them. New celebration. They celebrated the festival of booths and what that looked like and what that was to remember. It was hard work. It was an uphill battle. A lot of change took place, but it was good change. They had to fight for what they believed, but they were seeing the effects of it right before their eyes. If you're taking notes, I want you to write, but, okay? And I don't mean behind here, but. And now this is a big but they could lose it all if everyone didn't join and take part. You see, they had done all this work to build this wall, and all around, and they were all involved, everybody, young men, old men, men and women, young women, old women, everything in between. They were doing it. They were doing the work. And awesome things were taking place. But they could lose it all if everyone didn't join in and take part. A building is lifeless without people. Isn't that true? A building is lifeless without people. A city is the same. Nehemiah has built the wall, but unless it's inhabited with life and vitality, it could cease to move forward. So you can have this big change happen in your life, and awesome things could begin to happen. God challenged the churches, the seven churches in the book of Revelation, right? And to one church, he says, listen, you've been doing all the right things, but you lost your first love. You've been doing all this exciting activity, but if you're not careful, you're going to lose what I'm trying to impart to you, because it's a life that I want you to walk. It's not just a few things that I want you to do. I want to grab a hold of your life, and I want your life to be forever changed. I don't just want a moment of change. I want a life of change. The main point this morning is this. Growth and development compels everyone to be on board. Growth and development compels everyone to be on board. Rebuilding the walls, one person, one family, one community at a time. You see, when we're talking about chapter 11 and we're getting into them moving into Jerusalem permanently, we're talking about permanent change that he wants to do in you. Not temporary change, permanent change. Again, if Jerusalem will not become a thriving city where people live, worship, and build community, the destiny of Jerusalem would have not been fulfilled. Would have not been fulfilled. And I'll tell you this, if Mitchell Assembly will not become a thriving church where people live, worship, and build community, the destiny of Mitchell Assembly of God will not be fulfilled. All of us are required to get on board. You know, many here in our church have spent years pouring their energies into building Mitchell Assembly of God. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. They've helped build the wall. They've helped put in the lights. They have helped change the look of this location. We don't look like a car lot, do we? God has changed this building. He's changed this place because of you. And we thank you for that, and we honor you for that. And there's ministers that have come before us that have poured into Mitchell Assembly of God, and we're thankful, and we're thankful. We're thankful for that. But just like Jerusalem, God is calling us now to begin to really move into the next steps that he's calling us to. He's calling us to move in, so to speak. I'm not saying you guys pull up a mattress, okay? But you'll see where we're going here, okay? In chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now the leaders of the people settled in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots." And we'll explain what lots are. It doesn't mean lots and lots, okay? People cast lots to bring one out of every 10 to live in Jerusalem, the holy city, while the remaining 9 were to stay in their own towns. The people commended all the men who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. Now, the rest of the chapter, and you feel free to read all those names, okay? The rest of the chapter goes on to share a list of people who moved into Jerusalem. Now, maybe lists bore you, okay? And I can relate with that. But I know that my wife, Natalie, she went to Central Bible College, and Nate and Kira also went to Central Bible College. Pastor Mark Batterson, who we're studying in Sunday school, his book, The Circle Maker, he also went to CBC. And he talks about how he would pace on the balcony in prayer. During lunch, he'd go there and he'd pray. And that's where God gave him just a cementing of his calling and his, you know, deep prayer with God and just knowing Jesus intimately. And so when he went back there just recently and paced that balcony and went up, he kind of had an aha moment. Like, this is where I was that God did this. This is where I was. And so it was really special. And Central Bible College was very important to them all in their education and their spiritual growth. But it's extra special to my wife. Why? Because before it was CBC, it was Central Bible Institute. And her grandma and grandpa both went there. And her great aunt went there. And in fact, her great aunt has her name in a brick. And her grandma has her name in the brick. And so other people could walk on those bricks. Other people could walk by those bricks. But I'll tell you something, that name in that brick means a lot. It means heritage. It means a life lived for the gospel with heart and with passion and being sold out for his kingdom. And so again, to her, to others, it was just a name until it's connected with your story. And you can write this down if you want. A brick is just a brick until it's part of who you have become. A story is just another story until it's part and connected with your story. And I think about Ellis Island. People go to Ellis Island and they look up names, don't they? They look up names and they try to find their ancestors. And it's really a pretty crazy moment because they're out there on Ellis Island and they can just picture the ships coming in and bring in their family from Ireland, from Romania, from, you name the country, right? That came through Ellis Island. So many different nationalities, so many different people groups that have come and are coming. And there's this connection. So these people who were chosen by the Lord, these names that you read after chapter 11, verse 1, they represent heroes that were willing to move their life from rural to city. They were to change what they did and how they did things in almost every aspect of life. And it says here, the people commended all the men and their families who volunteered to live in Jerusalem. What an amazing thing, huh? Because the people saw the sacrifice. They saw the commitment. And they said, those are heroes. Those are heroes. Growth and development, I'll say it again, compels everyone to be on board. When you think of the word volunteer, I want to ask you, that's CBC there. When you think of the word volunteer, what comes to mind? Help? A need? When I think of volunteer, I think of, you know, I tend to be an analytical person, so I think of the negative thoughts that go on in people's minds. Well, I don't have to do this, so they better appreciate my work, even though it's mediocre. I mean, I'm volunteering, aren't I? I mean, I was good enough to come. I was good enough to be a body at this thing. I mean, come on. But that's what we think sometimes, right? I'm volunteering, so even if I give kind of mediocre, I'm still here. I'm a body, okay? I mean, we do this with a lot of things. And when we hear volunteer, we can think things like, is it really needed? Like giving blood. There's a local blood drive that's going to be going on in September. And you know, How many times did we say, well, somebody else is going to give blood? I mean, somebody else will go to the blood drive. We think that there are so many that'll do this. We think a volunteer is optional, as optional. But when it comes to Nehemiah and Jerusalem, volunteering is not an option. It was not an added luxury. Like, you know, we're just finishing touches on the cake. We'll get a couple of volunteers and just put on a couple of things on top and we'll be good to go. No, it's not just an option. It's not just this thing of like, it'd be nice to have a couple people just to do a couple things on top. In this case, I want you to see a little bit of a shrink-wrapped version of this Old Testament encounter, okay? Zerubbabel came and he built the temple. He built the temple, and there was miracles involved in that story, and the temple was built. Ezra came in, and he renewed the law. He pulled out manuscripts that were as old as the hills, and he pulls them out, and he says, care about what God cares about. And then Nehemiah, blood, sweat, and tears, builds the wall, and all of this takes place. All of this happens, right? All this happens. But it would be meaningless to the future generations if people didn't act and continually care for the city of God and the people within it. It needed to be guarded, it needed to be inhabited, and it needed to be developed. They needed volunteers. But of the kind that may not come to mind at first glance. You know, Corrine read this devotional for us. It was the word for you today. And it's so true. And I want to read it again because it's so poignant here. These are not my words. These are the words of the Father. No, just kidding. These are not my words. They're the words of the devotional. But I want to read it out to you. Paul writes, whatever we do, it is certainly not for our own profit, but because Jesus Christ's love controls us now. 2 Corinthians 5:14. God is looking for volunteers, not conscripts. Conscripts are motivated by law. Volunteers are motivated by love. After the attack on Pearl Harbor, enlistment centers all over America were jammed with boys too young to fight, men who were retired, and even the blind. One elderly man said to a recruitment officer, "I'd consider it my greatest privilege to die defending this country." Why do men and women do this? Duty? Yes. But something even greater, devotion. Their hearts have been captured by a cause, facing the loss of his freedom, his family, his ministry, and possibly his life. Martin Luther told the ecclesiastical powers of the day, "I will not recant. My conscience is captive to the word of God." No one should ever have to beg and pressure you to teach a Sunday school class, work with young people, give to the cause of Christ, visit the sick, lonely, and needy to serve others. You should be begging for the privilege. Paul said, "Whatever things were gain to me, those I considered for Christ, for whom I am have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Philippians 3, 7 and 8. It goes on to say in the devotional, commitment to Christ is like signing your name on a blank check and saying, "Lord, you fill in the amount." You're not doing God a favor by serving him. He's honoring you by allowing you to serve him. Today, measure what you do for the Lord by what you actually do. And what an awesome thing was about Corrine reading that, and I'm not trying to inflate, I'm not trying to puff up, but Corrine is a servant. In fact, she's back there serving right now. You know, I saw her on the game floor at VBS. And people could say, "Well, Corrine, you know, your kids are all grown up. They're working at Microsoft. They're working at Apple. You know, you have put in your years of time developing people." And Corrine would say, "No way," right? No way. Because until the day that the Lord takes me, I'm going to be, and she's young and vibrant. I want to say that, okay? She's young and vibrant. But the day until the Lord takes me, I'm going to be pouring out for his kingdom purposes. That I know what it means to serve my Savior. know that the blessing and the outpouring that he has poured out on me when I serve him, when I connect with him. So with all her energies and all her might, she's doing these active games with the kids, doing these dodgeball, throwing this, running over here, doing this, spending herself on the children for the gospel. What a great testimony. What a great testimony. And a testimony she probably wouldn't share, but a testimony just the same. This statement is just as inspiring, and I want you to catch this. You have never really lived until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. I'll say it slower. You have never really lived until you've done something for someone who can never repay you. You know, it's one thing to do something that you know you're going to get something back. You know, it's like, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. But a lot of kingdom business is going out there and doing something that those little kids are never going to be able to repay us for the time, the love, the value of Christ Jesus in their life and how eternally they're going to be changed. I believe that with all my heart. They're not going to come back and go, Pastor John, I'd like to do this and this and this for you. You know, maybe, but I'm not looking for that ever. It's just to pour into them. You know, we got our calculations wrong, and I do apologize. 31 was on a day, the greatest that we had, but we counted it out. We had over 40 kids come. That's pretty awesome. And so we were counting physical ones, and we actually went out and handed out bags to certain kids and families and put them at the doors if we couldn't greet them, called them, all that kind of stuff. And the reason why is because we want them to know that Jesus loves them. We want them to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he cares for them and their families, their parents and the children. We're just getting ready to start up what I'd like to call our mentorship classes this fall. Small groups, Royal Rangers, girls' ministries, youth group, adult Bible study, and outreach. And that's a lot. It's a lot. And we want you to join us. We want you to join us. But I will tell you, I don't want someone who will do the bare minimum. Why do we give our jobs excellence and the church gets our leftovers? I'm not saying you do, but I'm saying the church does. As a community, as Church US, Church Worldwide, a lot of times our jobs get our best. Right? Because we know we're earning this or earning that. But when it comes to volunteering for God, sometimes God gets the leftovers. I mean, it's kind of like, you scruffy. My kids won't even eat this, so you eat it. Are we giving God scruffy's leftovers? Are we giving God what our kids wouldn't even eat? So we'll give it to God and feel good about it. And, you know, I just say that jokingly, but we have to make conscious decisions that God will get our best. The people chosen by lot, they could have complained. In Nehemiah 11, they could have complained. They could have said, why not this other guy? Should we really choosing lots? They took out a bunch of things, lots, and they said, here, you pick. Okay, you got the short end of the stick. You're moving to Jerusalem. No, right? It wasn't, I can't believe I got picked. I didn't want to get picked. It's like the team when you're a kid and you really want to get on that team and you're like, pick me. And God says, I choose you. Come on in. Move into Jerusalem. You know, they had a farm. They had their own mission, their own little plan, their own little plot, if you will. But God was calling them. They knew it wasn't just Nehemiah instigating or, you know, beginning a casting of lots. Like, oh, if Nehemiah wasn't our leader, I wouldn't be in this situation. If Pastor John wasn't our leader, I wouldn't have to do this. Gosh. I have to shovel manure? No, that's not the plan, by the way, guys. But you know, just that area of, again, they could have said, why? But they didn't. They said, God, you're the one that's calling us. I really love this here. It says, you've never really lived And you guys heard it before, but sometimes a visual, right? And I'll say it one more time. You've never really lived until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. Acts 1:21-26, they were choosing lots once again in the New Testament. Therefore, it's necessary to choose one of the men who've been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us to the resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. You see there that the lot picking, they didn't just say, who wants to be an apostle? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Who wants to be an apostle? Okay, we choose you. No, there was certain reasons, certain characteristics. They had to have followed Jesus and done these things. So they didn't just haphazardly do something. But I wanted to share with you too, what about Joseph called Barsabbas? Does that mean he walked away and didn't do anything for God anymore? Man, I didn't get picked to be an apostle. Forget you. No, right? He went on doing things for God. You know, some of the most amazing people in the Bible were appointed to serve bread? Philip, right? He was a bread giver, right? Well, let's nominate some guys. Listen, we have to preach the gospel, and these widows are not being taken care of. Can we get some people filled with the Holy Spirit who love Jesus to pass out some bread? And they picked some guys. Did you know those guys at the same time they were passing out bread, were healing people in Jesus' name, were spreading the love of God, were spreading the message of Christ while they were passing out bread? Everybody was on board. Everybody was on board. And the kingdom was spreading like wildfire. Like wildfire. So they picked and they drew lots and they did. But I will tell you that, again, Joseph called Barsabbas didn't sit around doing nothing. He went around doing what God had called him to do and moving in the ways that God called him. Again, there were qualifications. There was things like that. In the situation of the days of Nehemiah, he needed life to be shared. His decision to execute this point of casting lots was prayerful and it was strategic. By casting the lot, it's no longer Nehemiah who forces them to live in Jerusalem, but it's the will of God. Again, so they couldn't bear a grudge on him. They would say, this must be the Lord. So we see in the summation of Nehemiah 11 that the Bible lists all the people that were chosen and moved from their farm into the city, from farm life to city life. That's not the easiest, is it? That's not the easiest. But as God is the one that will equip for every need and every calling that he places on our lives. That when we're called to do some pretty crazy things sometimes, God equips us. He equips our missionaries, doesn't he? I mean, they're leaving sometimes cities to, it doesn't even look like a farm. It just looks like a wasteland. And God calls them. They leave home, culture, their native language, and they go into a totally different area. And they know God has called them to go. You know, our mission here at Mitchell Assembly of God, you've been chosen. You've been chosen. God has a divine destiny for this church body. I believe that lives will be saved. I believe that people will be forgiven and set free. I believe that the gospel will be preached. And that we will minister locally and around the world. You want to see the church grow? Volunteer. You want to see the church grow? Pray. You see, it takes both, doesn't it? It takes both. Because I will tell you, just honestly, people are praying at different churches and those churches are closing, okay? But when you connect prayer with action, when you connect prayer with volunteering, when you connect prayer with giving what you have to the Lord and saying, God, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, he blesses it, he multiplies it, and it becomes empowered because his spirit goes out with you. Amen? His spirit goes out with you. Give God your best. give God your best skills, your greatest creativity. You know, the greatest creativity should come from the church. Why? Because we're prideful? No. But because if God has given us abilities and then he supernaturally empowers those abilities and takes that creativity to the next level, we should be coming out with super creative things because of his giftings upon our lives, his anointing that's on our lives. But it takes your most excellent stuff, your best skills, your greatest creativity, and your most excellent preparation time. You know, as Pentecostals, we tend to be anti-preparation, okay? We want a move of the Spirit, and sometimes we label the move of the Spirit as a lack of preparation. And in my heart and in my ministry, I never want to be that kind of minister of the gospel. That just, you don't prepare at all, but you're like, God, move in this event! Move in this thing, and God may, just because he's so awesome and he's so full of grace. But let it not be that we say, God, move on this. I know I didn't care about it. I know I didn't shed any time or tears or effort into it. I know I didn't have any preparation time. I know I didn't give my best, but God just, oh, bless God. Bless God. Yeah, you bless God first with a reality that shows that you really have been changed on the inside. And then God will overflow you. Don't pull a Christianese. Don't pull a bunch of, oh, I'm just going to say a bunch of Christian things, but I haven't done my Christian homework. I'm going to say a bunch of Christian things, but I'm not going to act out a life of compassion and care and gentleness and patience. I know we're not perfect. I know that I mess up over and over and over again. But you know, when you're taking care of your kid, how many times do you say, did you try your best? Yeah? Okay, well that's good enough. That's good enough. We're going to try again, and we're going to learn, and we're going to grow, and our best is going to become even better. Not because I'm holding you to a list of rules, not because I'm over you, ready to discipline you if you don't, but because I love you so much, I want to see you grow. I want to see you grow. And I believe that that's God's heart for us. That's God's heart for us. And we will watch the Lord multiply the work of our hands. Lastly, when I was in Springfield, Missouri, I heard leaders from all over the world. I'm talking about India. I'm talking about Africa. I'm talking about all over the world where God is multiplying the church. Thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions. You know, we are 67 million strong Assemblies of God worldwide. 67 million. You know how many that was in 1913? Zero. 1914? Just started. 100 years later, 67 million in all different dialects, in all different languages, tribe, tongue, nation. Why? Because a few wide-eyed, crazy dreamers said, if I just pour everything that I have into the gospel, and I believe God for it, he's going to multiply. He's going to do. He's going to change lives. And you have things like Convoy of Hope birthed. You have things like Teen Challenge birthed. I'm going to go to the city of New York, and I'm a farm boy. I'm going to move from farm to city, and I'm going to believe God for great things. And look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. It's amazing, and it's awesome. And my challenge to you today is allow yourself to be used by him. Would you stand with me? You know, this right here is the truth in God's word, and you see it in an application point. Growth and development compels everyone to be on board. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you are present in the midst of us when two or more are gathered in your name, that you're here. And God, I pray that even as I've been speaking today, you've been touching hearts, you've been speaking to lives, and you've even been calling people to a close relationship with you. And if that's you, you want a close relationship with Jesus. Maybe you're far off from Jesus. Maybe you've never actually committed your life to Jesus, but you see that he's called you for a purpose. I ask you to raise your hand, and I'd like to agree with you in prayer to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to come into your life. I see that hand. And you're saying, God, I want to live for you with everything that's inside of me. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. And pray with me like this. Jesus, be my Savior. Be my guide. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just go through this or that and then never be completely changed. I know that you are the one that changes me. You are the one that was sinless. You're the one that died, and you're the one that rose again so that I could have new life. Be my Savior. Be my God. I commit to you in Jesus' name. And secondly, as we're praying this morning, I believe that God is calling us to step up and step out. And so my response that I'm asking you and challenging you today is yes, to acknowledge that God is speaking to you. But we are getting ready to have a volunteer class on September 3rd. I ask that you would just ruminate on this. I ask that you would just soak in this here. That God has chosen you, that God has chosen us, that God has chosen us as a church to give and to pour out and to be a part. We're getting ready to have a membership class, and maybe God is calling you to become a member of this church and you haven't before. God, I pray that you would speak to hearts. And God, for everyone here, God, I ask that you would encourage this body, encourage our visitors that are here today, encourage their hearts. God, bless them as they've come. And God, we ask that you would bless this service and bless this day in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen.